Okay, so here we are, 8:06 a.m. on Tuesday, August 25th. And this is Tuesday Live with Linda, the first hour. And I am, I wanted to, because some of you are new, just remind you how this happened, that we have these Tuesdays Live with Linda. It's because for the last 2 years, we've been doing these Sunday classes with Sandy Rakowitz and Eleanor Silverstein. And the three of us have been sharing Tea Touch. But what happened with the Feldenkrais Summit, there was a lot of interest in my talk, which I gave on cellular wisdom. 1,800 people requested more information. And so quite a few Feldenkrais practitioners joined us. And then they had no background in this. And so I came up with this idea of, okay, I'm just going to come on Tuesdays and I'm going to make this an opportunity for us to really have a chance to share experiences. Anybody who has some part of their body that they wish to address or some part of Tea Touch that they wish to work with, we will simply do that. And we build this for 2 hours, which I was encouraged by my colleagues and friends to do. But the fact is that I stay on as long as somebody has something that they wish to either just, you know, question some part of your body you'd like to be led through or something about Tea Touch that you would like to share. And it's been really incredible. And on Sunday after, I think it was 4 hours, I just had this feeling, wait a minute, we're not done. And then I asked Gail about her further experiences with that she had felt when she was doing Tea Touch, and it was really helpful. So don't feel like you have to stay on. It's always recorded. And so I just, if any of you have like something, an issue this time or a question that you have or comments that you want to share, it's in this sharing that brings a richness. And this has been, you cannot imagine after all these years of teaching this work, I'm sharing this work, how important these Tuesdays have come to me. Because in the past, I'll do a workshop, a weekend, or we do these 3-year trainings, which we did for many years, and they're still going on in a shorter version in Germany and Austria, and part of it in Switzerland. But we never had that chance for the feedback. And what started happening on these Tuesdays is that I got a chance to hear from some of you who, like in the case, for instance, of Jewel Duke, we've been working together for many, many years. And yet to be able to hear each week of the progress that has been made with Tea Touch for self-help, you cannot imagine how that makes my heart sing. And the many of you, when we first got on, Heidi came on first, and she said that she first heard about me, I think it was 1973, you said, Heidi, from the German magazine Freizeit am Sattel. I think it was actually even called Pony Post in those earlier years. And here she is here after all these years back with us. And Valentina, you also many, many years ago, I think more than 15 or something, started doing Tea Touch. And some of you have, I don't know who else has been in it for a long time. Donna, more than 15 years. And I just love the fact that we have this mixture of people who are new to the work, people who have heard about it for many, many years, and some of you who have been doing it for many years. And somebody asked, I forget who it was on Sunday, someone said she thought maybe she had a question that maybe was a silly question, but there's no such thing in this work, as in the Feldenkrais work, as a silly question. And just anything that you, around Tea Touch, that you feel that you want to know, but oh, maybe you should know, there are should knows. And for sure, someone else will have that same question. And of course, I always have to say, and we have to be very careful about this, to understand that Tea Touch is never a replacement for medical care. And it's really important to recognize when we need to seek medical help. For instance, in my case, when I fell getting out of the pool now 3 weeks ago, I cannot believe I did not go and get an x-ray. But actually, Roland and I discussed it. And he said, well, so what will they do, you know, if something is broken? Well, actually, it depends what you might take for it. And so it was 2 weeks after that I found out that I had the first and fifth lumbar vertebrae. But the good thing is that I happened to have a doctor who brought her horse to me, like when she was a medical student before she had graduated. And now she is the critical care up here. And I went to her for the x-ray. And she said, just don't worry, Linda. It's a low-level grade 1 fracture. Don't worry about it. And it's this that made such a difference to me. And so now here I sit here. And I have no, it's been 3 weeks. I can move, I can do all of this. And I have no pain. And just the last couple of days, whoa, sitting in the car, lots of pain. And all I have to do is reach back and just use one hand, reach back and talk to the cells. And Heidi, that's what I'm doing. I'm imagining, I'm connecting. Now, what's made a difference to those like Jewel and Donna who did the, and even Teresa, when we've been doing these work through all these years with T-Touch for you even, but with the animals, I never thought about connecting with that divine spark in every cell. And this weaving of science and spirituality that we have been doing for the last 2 years online like this, this is what makes me understand why it is that I have been so successful over the years working with, I'm thinking of one person right now who came into our class in Austria, and we sometimes in these 6-day classes, we'll bring someone in from the outside who has an issue that is willing to be T-touched in front of everybody and share their experiences. And this woman had surgery to her clitoris and had a part removed and could take no pain medication. What do you do? What do you tell somebody like that? And what I just started doing was bringing awareness to, as we do, I'd like you all to think about this just now in your own bodies, bringing awareness to all the parts that we're working. And with somebody who is in intense pain all the time, you have to be really careful. I couldn't say, remember your perfection. There's no way she could think of that at that point. But I could talk to her about, just connect with this amazing cellular function. And that influence at that point was from Bruce Lipton's book, Spontaneous Evolution, talking about where he talks about the communication between the cells. And I started just in this, and mostly like these, what I'm calling what the lying leopard touches, bringing the warmth of the hand, and the whole hand, the abalone, just bringing awareness to this, and in this voice, actually, because my voice changes when I start talking to the brilliance of the body. And I go to a place, and I encourage you to do this with your own bodies. Go to what I call the wow factor. It's like, wow. And now, thanks to this online sharing with us, I go there immediately. And I recognize that this vehicle that contains its 100 trillion cells, average person, Bruce Lipton writes, many scientists write that. Wait a minute, this vehicle is a wonder. And we are walking miracles. And when we see the magic and the miracles of this, and the fact that, wow, with this simple 1¼ circles, it's like a connector to that divine spark in every cell in our body, because what the heck is it that makes this body run? And that's what I keep coming back to this. And it's such a gift to have you all share your experiences and your questions. I mean, Jewel, you're sitting here, and I mean, I can't tell you how often during the day I think of you. And for those of you who came in after Jewel started this with Tuesday Tea Touch with Linda, this concept, because Jewel was having intense pain in her knees because she's got bone on bone. And she couldn't have surgery because there was no one to take care of her. And she had attempted to do T-Touch herself. And so what we just started doing, because of my experience with my own knee, started just leading her down to find out, wait a minute, it wasn't only the knee that had the pain. Where you follow, wherever you have like a pain or discomfort, follow around, follow that. Where else is it? Just start talking to that. And so, you know, I'd love to know how you're doing today, because every day, like the fact that you last week reported that you're walking a mile a day and with very low levels of discomfort, as I understand it. But this is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. And the fact that we can see this now, because we haven't been able, I didn't get this kind of feedback, you know? Even when we were doing our 3-year trainings, yeah, we got the case studies, but it's not the same as seeing you all each week. And the fact that here, Teresa, after all these years, your Umberto is now asking for T-Touch after all these years. These are miracles that I get to, you know, witness, and we all get to witness. Jewel, yes,
sorry. Go ahead. They had two questions from before, so I don't know if you want me to bring them up now, but
hold a second, and let's just see, Jewel, what you would share. How are you feeling? How are your knees? Connected to
me too. I'm so thankful for how much this has really changed my life in the last several months now since we started this. In fact, I posted in the Facebook group the first time about it on May 24th, and I went back yesterday because I walked 0.92 miles in 30 minutes.
Wow.
Last week I was able to do, and I'm only walking about once a week because if you think the humidity is bad in Hawaii and the heat, it's miserable here, even early in the morning. But I did an update yesterday on the Facebook page. Last week I had walked, I think it was 0.76 mile in 40 minutes. So I was able to increase the distance and decrease the time. Now, I still am doing, except on the days I walk, I still do an exercise bike every day. But that had nothing to do with my knees being better. I'd been doing that for almost 6 months already when I started with your work in May. And that had not helped the knees at all. So I know that this is what's helped. I also showed my ex-husband, who really doesn't know how to do this and has bad knees, and he's had very good success as well. He's kind of amazed, and he has really not a very good idea of how to do it, but still, he's doing the following the pain down, and I try to do a little bit every morning, but it's, you know, less than 5 minutes a day.
Yes. And isn't that amazing? And it's one of the things, Valentina, I talked about your comment to me after the fact telephone call, what you said about the simplicity of learning this work. And the fact, Jewel, for all of you, one of the things that's such a miracle about Jewel is she's been doing this work successfully for many years with dogs and cats, with companion animals. But when you attempted to do the T-Touch in the way you were doing it, it wasn't working, as I understood right. you, right?
Right, correct.
Can you remind us what you were doing that wasn't working?
I hardly remember. I did a lot of raccoon touches. And
let's remind people, if you show them what that is, because not everybody knows.
Yeah, little tiny raccoon touches that are just very light. Really whatever my body felt like that day. I like, right now I'm really liking abalones, and they didn't really do much before. I'm really enjoying the elephant seal, the elephant foot, and the banana slug now too.
Okay, so I was just
working around the tops of my knees before, yep. with whatever I felt like, but and not then, addressing the actual finding the spots and following
yep.
them.
Yeah. And it was following the pain. That's what I discovered. I love it when I have any kind of issues, because that's how I learn on myself. And now I just want to redo it. Let's do a little review. So first of all, Jewel showed the tips of the fingers. That's the raccoon touch. And it came, you know how raccoons, if you've ever watched raccoons, they have these little tiny movements that they make with their little paws. And so that reminded me of a raccoon that I had to touch with the very tips of the fingers without the nails. And then what you did was you actually laid your hand on the underside here, and right. that's the lying leopard from that little leopard in the LA zoo that I worked on. And she, after she started to stop this excessive kneading that she was doing, this nervous, constant kneading, just stretched her little front legs out. And that's how we got the name of the lying leopard. And then what you did, you put your whole paw, your whole hand on, like the whole hand in the abalone.
Mm-hmm.
The whole. And then you talked about the other parts that you liked.
The elephant seal, the elephant foot, and the banana slug.
Okay, so let's look at that, just so you, and don't think, oh no, I'll never remember those. We just keep talking about them. So, elephant seal, it's this fat part of your thumb, this soft part. And how it got its name, I've got to find that picture. It's somewhere here, actually, in my collection. I'm lying stretched out on the beach, just north of Santa Cruz, on the beach beside an elephant seal about, you know, a meter away. And they have these noses, like this funny looking nose, and it's your thumb. That's the nose of the elephant seal. That's where I got the name. And that's the big body. And it's nice and soft, and you can move it around your knee. That's how I got that name. And I thought of that animal as I was, isn't that strange? As I was thinking. And remember, those of, we talked about this, I think, on Sunday, when you imagine this part of your hand and you think of that animal, we're bringing the spirit of the animals into ourselves. And remembering that we are a part of nature is really helpful in this time that we're in. And to just, even if you can't go out and be with a tree, just I reach out to these palms around me, and I reach out to some of the trees that I have leaned up against and connected with. And I think I'd like to all of us think about what's now known, how these trees send out their communication, the method, the messages through the earth and connect and actually help other trees. There's some fascinating science now behind this. And that when we connect with that just different part of our hand, and we think about these trees in the forest that I've been leading you on Sundays in the past, and we'll do it in the future. Think about that communication, and think about this connection that we have here, and consider that it's through this divine spark in every cell in our bodies that knows what to do in this body. That's a miracle. And that through this World Wide Web, we're weaving these connections in our own physical body and around the planet. That's the magic and the miracles. It's a miracle. And you mentioned the elephant foot. This is that part. And sometimes, I can't remember, the other day I was using this. Oh, I was using it on my back somewhere. Yes. Just taking that part, and it felt really good. Now, it's awkward, so I only did it like 2 tea touches, and then I flipped my hand over and used actually this part. Look, how can I, instead of making the round, which is what I'll use if I have nerve pain, I flattened it. And just put your thumb against, you're between this first joint and the second. I don't have a name for that. I was thinking of you all the other day because I thought, I don't have a name for that. When I use the side, isn't this interesting? Like exactly between the side from the first and second joint, and just that one finger, that's thanks to Teresa Cottarelli, who's here on the call, because, I don't know, Teresa, was at least 15 years ago, you had a place in your lumbar vertebrae that was bothering you. And that's the part that I used on you. Remember, that was a session late at night because we had like 28 people in that class. And during the 6 or 7 days, in those days, we did 7 days, I worked on every single person once for like about 30 minutes. And we would start those sessions after dinner about 9 o'clock and go every night until about 11. Oh, yes. Right. And that's thanks to you. And that's called the camel after Teresa. I can use it on the side of my face here also. So I'm just, I never did this before. It's just kind of interesting. So now, Kirsten, you have a couple of questions.
Yes, I have. The first one was from Nancy Helmers. Yes. And she said, Linda, what would have been different if you went for an x-ray right away?
Really good question. I probably would have been concerned, because had I gone, I wouldn't have had the advice of Eliana Sanchez, because she knew me and she knows that I'm a horse person, who said, don't worry, it's a level 1. It's a grade 1 fracture. Don't worry about it. Because if I'd heard the word fracture and 2 lumbar vertebrae, and like other people would say, what, you fractured your vertebrae? No, it's only a level, don't sweat it. And so after the first couple of days after I got that x-ray, oh man, I had a lot of pain. And then I started thinking about, wait a minute, what did she say? Come on. And I started following the pain, because what would have been so interesting, you all, when I flipped, because I flipped over and threw my arms out to catch me, and all I could think of, this elbow hit the cement, the tip of this elbow. Now, if you know what, when I was 60, I'll say this again, in my 60th year, I used to have x-rays every, or whatever you call it, body scans that you do for osteoporosis. I had them every year. And at 60, I had the bone density of a 69-year-old. This is not good news. And so I took Fosamax for a couple of years, and then my body didn't like it. And what they discovered later wasn't a good idea for a lot of people. Anyway, I'm thinking, whoa, look at this thing. It didn't break. This is a miracle. And then this one, I whacked, against the steps, the edge of the steps. And you can still see there's just a little scratch there. And all I could think of is, look at right here is a plate and five screws. Man, if I'd hit that, that wouldn't have been good. And all I could think of, how lucky I was, how blessed, not lucky, how blessed I was, I hit it here. And if you all think it didn't hurt, whoa, instantly it swelled up. So I got in the pool on my two pool noodles and was doing this walking thing I do, riding the pool noodles. And I couldn't touch it here because that's what I normally would have done. I tried it. Poof, couldn't get near it. Came to the top, just touched the top and kept thinking how lucky I am. Oh my God, I'm so lucky. Oh, not knowing that I had two vertebrae. But what I thought had happened, and I know it's still, I know inside, something flipped. Something, I don't know what it was, but I've had, you know, I've been working with all kinds of like, you know, making sure that all my insides, bowels are working. So I've had an interesting journey. And I woke up this morning thinking of you all, I started working on myself in different ways. And I'm going to lead you through what we call the face refresher. Some of you have done this. I think, Jewel, you've done it in the past. I don't know that anybody else has done it. And we used to do it in all the classes. Oh, Teresa, of course, you've done it. And so I'm going to take the other question. And so, Nancy, I think it wouldn't have been good had I known that I fractured. I think I wouldn't have healed as fast because all I could think of for 2 weeks, wow, this is amazing. I didn't break anything. And yeah, something's going on, but I can deal with that. And I just kept thinking how lucky I was, how blessed I was, not lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Your state of mind would be totally different.
It would have been. And it also would have been different if I would have had... See, I've been really lucky with the doctors I have because I have one doctor who said, when I did this arm thing, don't lift more than a cup of coffee. Be really careful with this because it's subluxated. And my other doctor, whose wedding I was at like 30 years ago, said, Linda, he's a horseman. Don't worry. Just start using it. And that's why I did. Mm. And he says, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
That's yeah. It's funny because, you know, I could see myself saying, oh, I should have gone right away because I do that.
Of course.
But if you had gone right away, you wouldn't have this amazing doctor that you have.
That's right.
And the thoughts are the importance of the role of our thoughts.
Our gratitude.
Gratitude. Yes. Gratitude is like such a huge part. It's just not a small part. It's like this huge part. Yes. And so you were in that space. And I think it's really interesting too that, you know, after you found out there was a fracture, it hurt more.
It did for a couple of days. Oh man, yeah. I'm suffering. Should I be driving in the car? Oh, the thing really hurts. And then I found out, well, sometimes it hurts. And so I just, Kate Reardon, I can't tell if Kate's on. I hope she is. She said, Linda, are you sitting on like a, you know, one of these special pillows, you know, memory foam pillows? No, I wasn't. And I went and got one immediately. I mean, I had one in the bedroom. I went and got it. And now that's what I sit on. And it made a huge difference. I couldn't believe it. So.
Thank you, Linda. That's great.
Thank you for the question.
Yeah.
Really important. Yep. Glad I didn't. And see, one of the miracles and the magic about it is that I went to urgent care because my normal doctor was away having their baby. So he wasn't available, thank heaven, because he would have sent me to the other doctor who's the bone guy. Over in Hilo, and I'm not driving over there because there's no way. And all he ever did was say, oh, you're fine. That's the most he's ever done. Like, it's useless. And then I call Dr. Livermore on the phone, and he says, he looks at the x-ray and says, "Nah, on my shoulder, don't worry. Just use it." It's the magic of having all of you and having these questions and having us having sharing these. And like my knee, Jewel, the reason I knew this is I think it's been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I'm coming up the stairs, I'm looking at these stairs, 3 stairs from the top, suddenly my knee just grabbed and I couldn't move. It was so painful. Now, I had done nothing. I never, ever had a knee problem there before. So I stopped and I hopped up on one leg, went over and sat down, and for 20 minutes, I just started exploring it. And that's how I discovered, whoa, this thing is way down there, all halfway to my ankle. And then I started working with it. Hmm. And at the end, like I could barely touch it with the raccoon touches going down. Now, this is a thing. Find the pain so you know it, you know, and you notice the level. Okay, like if I would touch it with a 2 pressure, that's, you know, that's a little more than I can put easily on my eyelid. It really hurt. And so then, okay, and then I start touching it with a 1 and it didn't hurt. And then I go up and I work all the way around the knee, and like I started, Jewel, like you thought, like all around the knee, because the pain was in the knee. That's where I felt it. And then by the end, I could go back to the down the line that where it hurt with it had like a 6 or 7 pain from just the lightest 2 pressure. But then I could use the lying leopard instead of the raccoon, lying leopard. I can touch it now. And it's okay. Now I could use a nice 2 touch and just if you would follow me on your hand, just like I'm doing, really going around, I'm imagining around the face of the clock here. And then I could go up to the knee and I could use all the pressure I could put with this fat part from this elephant seal all around it, and no way could I make anything hurt. That's the last of that. Never had it again. Now think of this, you all. In any normal circumstances, oh man, I would have been to the doctor immediately. We have no idea. Probably would have injected it. That would be logical, probably. But we have this capacity, and in your case, Jewel, it would have been totally logical to have your knees replaced, and it may still be absolutely the thing. It may be, and maybe not. And maybe, have you read that book by Norman Doidge, you know, or the book by Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, You Are the Placebo? Maybe we can do more miracles than we think. Maybe something can. I mean, the fact that you're walking every day. What are you thinking? Jewel is the, sorry, I'm looking at you, but not everybody knows I'm talking to Jewel directly. What is she thinking about? In other words, when it's over, is it time for the knee replacements? Because many of my friends have them and they're very, very happy with them.
As long as this is keeping me where I am, I'm fine with it. And I talked to my orthopedic surgeon, I think in June, and he said what he always says. You'll know when it's time to get them replaced. You're the one who's got to make that decision. But we'll do it anytime you're ready. I have not looked at the Dispenza book, and I don't remember the other one. I would like to.
Yep. And one of the things you might consider, I have one friend who actually did stem cell replacements for her knees instead of having them replaced, and she's very happy. It's not for everyone, but it's just... No. Considering what you've already done. I don't know if anybody here has personal experience with that, but it's just, it was her option and it really was helpful.
Yeah, I've looked actually into the availability of it here, and it's not really available here particularly.
Yeah, she went to one of the Mexican doctors who lives in San Diego who works over the border in Tijuana, because there they can do it and they can have more, much more possibility. And there, I don't know if any of you, you know, we're here in the US, we're very fortunate. I have had some just amazing experiences with doctors in Mexico. Yeah. So anyway.
There is information, or there is a procedure that is also something to consider, where they actually grow your cartilage in a petri dish. They make a new plate of cartilage that they put on your knees.
Wow.
I know. I don't think I'm not yet a candidate for that. Yeah. So, but I know people in the area that have had it done.
Yeah. So talking of magic and miracles. Now, one of the things, did we get the questions? Because I had a plan for you all.
One more.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you want it?
Yes.
So from Donna and a few others, when you do the quick little touches, how do you breathe?
Ah, this is a really good question. And one of the things I want to bring in the second session is not just how we'll talk about breathing now, but I want to talk about the fifth element is the connections between the tea touches. What are our choices for connections? But the breathing is like, so, oh, I'm sorry, whoever's on the phone, you can't see this. So what I'm doing is making maybe, look, I'm going to breathe out loud. Maybe, Kirsten, you can say, can you hear my breathing, by the way? I'll breathe into here so you can see. Oops. No, I'm breathing consciously. In through my nose for about two touches. And out through pursed lips as I'm doing about three touches. Okay, now the fact is I did a total of, I don't know, you know, like that time I did three touches up my arm in the time that I breathed in through my nose and I think three out. And I'm just doing it intuitively. I'm not counting, but I'm just watching what I'm doing. So in other words, you can't breathe in every time. There's no way I could do that. Now, when you're doing your tooth, because that's a 1 second circle, what I consider a 1 second circle. Now, if I do a 2 second circle, so somebody describe what I'm doing.
Linda, just to interject too, because it's part of it. Oops, where is it now? From Nancy, why do you breathe out through pursed lips?
Yes. What I'm doing, and maybe one of you can explain this more scientifically than I, but as I'm breathing in through my nose and as I'm breathing out, I am imagining these little lung balloons, these little alveoli, like millions, if you Google it, millions. I'm imagining like I'm filling these lung balloons with oxygen in my lungs. And as I create a little very slow back pressure, I'm getting rid of more like flattening, just really pushing the carbon dioxide out of my lungs. And I don't do it all the time, but I've done a lot of visualization, like feeling these. I see them, they describe them as, where did I get this thing, lung balloons? I think in some Google thing. Like, I see that, and these beautiful little miracles that we are in our lungs.
And in the class that I was in, you showed the vagus nerve and the whole tree and all the roots. And you told us the reason that we breathe out the pursed lips is that we vibrated that entire tree when we breathed out through pursed lips.
We're visualizing that. We're visualizing that. Because but when I first started doing this, Morgane, thank you. Morgane, right?
I want to call
you, why do I want to call you Morgane?
It's okay. Lots of people do.
Okay, so Morgane, we didn't have that vagus tree system, the vagus system looking like the roots of a tree around the whole pelvic area. We didn't have that. So I'm just working with the part that I knew, which were the alveoli, these little lung balloons. And when we reach back, I take my hand and I reach back as I breathe. Some of you were with us when we did this. Françoise is not with us today, I don't think. I haven't seen her. But all of you, like, just think of breathing, like, not just where we think our lungs are, but as Moshe Feldenkrais says in a beautiful Feldenkrais lessons, where you feel your belly and then push it up into your chest and then take it and push it down into the belly, and you do this back and forth. I like to take that and then take it one step farther, and I really like, I imagine like, oh, breathing through this, through everything, through everywhere here. Just imagine it and connect with the, with your breathing. And when I smile, because I was taught to smile by my mother, and it's only in the last few years that I read, what does the smile do? Oh, it activates the feel-good hormone, the serotonin. But my mom didn't know that when she, at these big 9-day horse shows that we had in Edmonton, and every time I came around in a big class, like you'd often have 30, even 40 horses in a big arena that the judge is looking to pick the top 3 or 4. And every time I came by, my mother would say, smile dear, smile. And I'm certain the reason that I won a great deal catch riding for other people's horses. And I'm sure it's because I had that attitude. I wanted my horse to be smiling too. I wanted my horse to feel that, to have fun doing this. And that's thanks to my mom. But now, scientifically, we know that the smile activates the feel-good hormone. So, Jewel, and any of the rest of you who walk, something that I did in Santa Fe when we used to go walking with our dogs is for years, I did a breathing exercise. And I'm going to give you this exercise. And those of you who go walking, like, I first got the idea from my grandfather, who used to, at one point in his life, he was a prospector in the Northwest Territories, north of Canada. And he said, as a child, I heard him say that he could walk all day without getting tired if he would breathe in 4 steps and out 4 steps. And he could walk all day, never get tired. In 4, out 4. And I did that a lot, and I taught it a lot in my riding lessons, because some of you don't know that I, from 1970 2005, we opened our school at Badger, California, a 9-month residential school for riding instructors and trainers. And I had that until I went, closed it down and went to Germany in 1974. So for 9 years, and we used to teach in our classes, we teach like on breathe in 4 steps as you're at the rhythm of your horse at the trot or the canter, and out 4 steps. And then, you know, somewhere I read, I got more sophisticated. Ah, there's another way of doing this. Like, let's see, how many steps can I breathe in and how many can I breathe out? And then I read somewhere, let's see. So you want to breathe in, actually you want to breathe out twice as many steps as you breathe in. And then I would test myself, and I got, so, you know, I could keep the same rhythm of the walking and get up so I could breathe in like 8 steps and out 16. And then I read somewhere else, it's a yoga thing. But you breathe in and then you hold, you like take all the breath you can and you hold that for a number of steps. And you can do this lying still. You don't have to do this at all moving. And then I would breathe out through pursed lips and like make sure I really flatten those balloons and then hold it again. And if you are tired, and you want to give yourself the cheapest oxygen shot that you can, just lie down and for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, not more, you just, let's do it all together. We're not lying, but you can kind of sit back and like, now breathe in like through your nose with a smile and imagine filling all around, like, allow the belly to expand. Then I take more dips in and hold. As long as you can hold. Hold it as long as you can. And then slowly, slowly, as slow as possible, push out through pursed lips. And feel it in your whole body. And then hold it. And then fill up again. And if you do that like 3 or 4 times, it's amazing. Like you can do it when you're walking, Jewel. And just start slowly and just build up like 4 steps in, 4 out. Play with the different combinations. But you can also do it taking a break when you've got work to do and you are tired. You can really reoxygenate. Now with that, I'm going to stop the end the recording for this first hour. We're at 54 minutes. Yes. And we'll say 55 right now. So at 5 after, we'll come back and just take a moment and just play with this. Perhaps like this breathing.